Thank you. When I think today that there are literally thousands upon thousands of real believers who have never been established in the truth of God, haven't even been established in the marvelous things of the gospel, and they know so little of a real life in Christ, and false teachers come along and lead them astray, then they get discouraged and they try something else, always trying something instead of being led to the Savior who can meet their heart's need. And again, I would plead with you today with respect of our young people as they go to their schools, that the Lord may be pleased to guard them through the truth from the various isms of the day, the deceitfulness of men who would seek to trap them into the things of Satan. You remember in 1 John chapter 4, the first 6 verses, where John warns the Christians there to try the spirits, whether they are of God. For many false witnesses, many false spirits, many antichrists, said he, are in the world. And who is it that is false? Every spirit that confesseth not. Every one who confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of antichrist. In other words, those who deny the incarnate word of God have the spirit of antichrist. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? That's pretty strong language. But this is what the Apostle John says under the power of the Spirit of God. Those who deny the incarnate word of God have the spirit of antichrist. And in these days it's well for us to remember the exhortation of Paul in Timothy 2:15 when he said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Or in the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, when Paul, writing to his son in the faith, said, "Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For all scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for teaching and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And remember that God has a tremendous job for us. Now, it's true, we found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's craftsmanship, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's true that God has ordained that we should walk in them. But on the other hand, He also has made us responsible to get into the Word of God, and He's made the preachers and teachers and evangelists all responsible to train you, to train the people of God for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that when these false teachers come along, they will not deceive the people of God. They'll not deceive your young people. Again, I pour upon the hearts of you, dear fathers and mothers who love the Savior. We need to be concerned about our young people. And I want to tell you that some of these men in our colleges and universities, and some of our preachers, are very subtle in detracting young people from Christ, putting big question marks in their mind as to the inspiration of Scripture, as to the deity of the Lord Jesus, as to His resurrection from the dead. And they will even take the very words, such as redemption and salvation and resurrection and reconciliation, these great words of Scripture, and apply to them an entirely different meaning. And that's what yet Paul says here in verse 14. "Let us not be children tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men," and so on. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Christ in all things, which is the head. To grow up in Him, to be built up in Christ, to be occupied with Him, so that His life and His character and His love and His tenderness and His compassion will be evident in your life and my life. And now we come to verse 16, a tremendous verse in Ephesians chapter 4, "From whom," speaking of Christ, "from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, what's he talking about? There are two things that we as Christians must do. Every Christian is in the body of Christ. Let me suggest from the 16th verse, every believer is in Christ. Now, you might say to me, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm the weakest of God's people. I'm one of the weakest of God's people. I'm just a babe in Christ. Well, I'll take your word for it. But even so, you might only be a joint in the body of Christ. But you know, when the joints do not function, it affects the whole body. For example, if the joint at my knee didn't do its job of lubricating the leg, what would happen? I'd have a stiff leg, and that would affect the whole body. I wouldn't be able to run. It would affect my walking. Or if I had an arm that was stiff, or a finger, even a finger that is stiff. It's an amazing thing when you get a cut finger. I don't care which one of the ten it is. You'd be going, why, what in the world? That thing's always in the way. We hardly realize, we are unconscious of the fact that every member in our body has a function. And sometimes we do not realize their function till they stop functioning, and it affects the whole body. Our hospitals are full of people because something has stopped functioning. Why doesn't the church grow as it ought to grow? Because we don't function. You see, my Christian friend, you have a particular place, and I come right back to it. You have a particular place in the body of Christ. I do not know what place God has given to you, but I know one thing. You've got a twofold job. And that twofold job is in the 16th verse. One is for the increase of the body, that is, by witnessing you bring people to Christ. Soul winning. And the second thing is to edify those who are believers, that is, you build them up in Christ. Someone has well said, allow me to quote this, the measure of our yieldedness is the measure of our usefulness to and for God. I'd like to repeat that. The measure of our yieldedness is the measure of our usefulness to God and for God. Am I talking to you this morning? You've been a Christian for I don't know how many years, and you haven't functioned. You've done nothing. You haven't prayed very much. You've criticized a lot. You've turned down opportunities of teaching in Sunday school. You've turned down opportunities of helping somebody in need. You've turned down opportunities of bringing peace to a troubled heart, or comfort to a sorrowful soul. You've missed the opportunities of doing things, little things, just little everyday things. Can't you and I live for God today? Can't you and I so walk before God today that even our very attitudes, our attention to someone, Just some little thing for somebody. And you know, there are a lot of lonely people in the world today. There are a lot of discouraged people. There are a lot of Christians who need a little encouragement. A lot of Christians, you know, that are lonely. And oh, just a little kind word. Do a little thing for them here and there. Go out of your way to do something. There are a lot of people now, you say, well, they're unlovable. Well, my friend, maybe it's because nobody has helped them. It may be they're shy. Maybe they've got an inferiority complex. And they haven't got that outgoing spirit that you have. And you go by them. And maybe they are what they are because we as Christians have not encouraged them. We haven't cheered them up. Can't we, as members of the body of Christ today, edify each other? And then by our kindness, by our lives, by our witness, to bring people to Christ, to bear testimony for Him. You see, there are some people you can reach that I can't reach. And it may be, I'm sure, there are some people that I can reach that you can't reach. but wherever God has put you. And by the way, don't say, I wish I was someplace else. Right where you are is the best place for you to start and live for Christ and encourage, edify, build up some other Christian. The ones you've been dodging, the ones that kind of get on your nerves, you know what I mean. You say, well, our personalities clash. Well, let them not clash. Bring to them something of the sweetness of Christ. That's just what they need. And you might find, instead of clashing, you might become very bosom friends. Who knows? All I know is this, that if they love the Savior, Christ loves them. And if Christ loves them, we ought to love them. So will it. May it be today that you and I will meet some lonely heart, some sorrowful heart, some heart that is even full of fear, and they need hope, and they need peace, and they need encouragement, and they need joy. They just need something. They need the fellowship of other Christians. I challenge you today to do this, Christian friend. Look at verse 16 again. You might only be a joint. You might be the smallest part of the body, but you've got a special place to function. And today you lift up your heart to the Lord, walk in fellowship with Him, and then in some way be used by Him in the reaching of somebody else for the Savior. Will you do that today? And the Lord wonderfully bless you for His name's sake.